here for Eric. But...
get up.
We're running a little behind, so if you would all open up and take out your the thing that tells you what Eric's background is. You'll see that it's also on the website. You also know if you go to the website that he's only one click away from the governor, okay? Which is pretty heavy duty. He also used to be a software council member. We're really happy that he chose the software council as a place to go discuss stuff. Last time, he spoke to some of us. He talked about their open source and open standards initiatives, which shook up the industry a lot, shows how they're trying to move along in ways that John's talking about and others, and take advantage of it for the benefit of us in the Commonwealth. So it's my pleasure to welcome Eric Crist, the former council member and the Secretary for the Executive Office of Administration and Finance for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, here to speak to us this morning, Eric.
Thank you, Dan. And I want to thank Joyce for allowing me to spend a couple minutes with you in the middle of what I know is a very busy program. And I will make my comments brief, and hopefully they will be of interest to you. It was exactly a year ago that we first launched the open standards policy. It was actually January 13, 2004, which set out for state government in Massachusetts the way we anticipated planning, developing, and using systems in the future. And those open standards began what is going to be a continual evolutionary process to better define, better understand, and go forward with not only those of us in state government, but obviously with the vendor community and all of you as well. In light of that, we're ready to extend the concept of open standards to the next step or stage. And I'm making an informal announcement today to you. We're looking forward, as always, to comments, feedback, because it's been terrific. One of the best assets that we have is all of you, and a tremendous amount of brain power that resides in this room and in the greater community of the software industry in Massachusetts. But we are planning to extend the definition of open standards to what we're now going to be calling open formats. Open standards, as you know, are specifications for systems developed by an open community and affirmed by a standards body. And an example for that would be, for example, XML, a method of exchanging data. Open formats, as we're thinking about them, and we're trying to be precise with the language because people use different English words for different technical terms. In our definition, open formats are specifications for data file formats that are based on an underlying open standard, developed by an open community and affirmed by a standards body, or de facto format standards controlled by other entities that are fully documented and available for public use under perpetual, royalty-free, and non-discriminatory terms. And I will illuminate that a little bit more in a second. An example of an open format that we have already characterized is TXT text files and PDF document formats. We're going to be promulgating sometime next month an additional list. Let me make a comment as to why we care about this. And I should also say, as I launch into this, that this effort on the importance for open formats really concerns public records and public documents. And we have done this in full cooperation and collaboration with the Secretary of State of the Commonwealth. The Secretary of State and I jointly have responsibility for the stuff of government. And he has his own responsibilities and I have mine, but they really overlap quite a bit. And the two of us, in terms of our constitutional and formal offices, really are responsible for overseeing what there is going to be of state government when we look back 100 years, whether there's going to be anything or not. It's the public records aspect of what we do. It should be reasonably obvious for a layperson who looks at the concept of public documents that we've got to keep them independent and free forever, because it is an overriding imperative of the American democratic system that we cannot have our public documents locked up in some kind of proprietary format, or locked up in a format that you need to get a proprietary system to use sometime in the future. So one of the things that we're incredibly focused on is ensuring that that public records remain independent of underlying systems and applications, ensuring their accessibility over very long periods of time. In the IT business, a long period of time is about 18 months. In government, it's about 300 years. So we have a slightly different perspective. Open formats ensure also that there are minimal restrictions imposed on the use of applications needed to access those records and files. And finally, open formats support the integrity of public records when we're going to need to do a file conversion as required, probably in the course of the normal technological evolution. So when we have something in a format of 2005 and it's going to need to be converted in 2038 to something we've never thought of yet, we need to be able to do that without losing the integrity of the underlying information. Given the fragmented legal status now of proprietary formats, the Commonwealth will only certify an open format designation when minimal legal restrictions exist on the reading and dissemination of government records. We will increasingly rely on the promulgation of open standards for file formats by national and international standards bodies. The OASIS Open Office XML Format Technical Committee would be one example of that. And our future systems, as we go and look toward the long-run future, will require full support of open formats as well as open standards. Now, we've published our initial open standards policy, as I indicated, a year ago. And the latest version, although we're going to be changing the language and the way we describe it, has already indicated that TXT, RFT, HTM, PDF, and XML, to the extent it's used to specify a format, are all open formats. But what I want to discuss informally today is we have been in a conversation with Microsoft for several months with regard to the patent that they have and the license surrounding their use of XML to specify specifically doc files in Microsoft Office 2003. They have made representations to us recently that they are planning to modify that license. And we believe if they do so, in the way that we understand that they have spoken about, we will leave it obviously to them to describe exactly what they're going to do, that it is our expectation that when we do issue the next iteration of the standard, that in fact the Microsoft what are proprietary formats will be deemed to be open formats, because they will no longer have the restrictions on their use that they currently have. That would include potentially, and again we need to wait for the final designation of this by Microsoft, it would include word processing ML, which is the wrapper around doc files, spreadsheet ML, which is the wrapper around XLS files, and the form template schemas. Obviously, we're going to be talking to other companies and other entities that may have restrictions around the use of those formats, and we hope to either get them removed or have further conversations so that as we all move forward together in this this wonderful evolution of technology, we're going to ensure that, at least for the government, we'll be able to reference something 100 years from now and won't get lost forever. Thank you very, very much.